at the casino, betting high stakes on a losing pair of dice. Walking through the room in a brand new tuxedo, left flat broke with a used pair of dice. Oh, he was rolling, rolling down the road to paradise. Oh, he was rolling, but he won't make it there tonight. Another roll of the dice. Traveling with her daughter, wandering down the road in the middle of the night. She used to live a life that wasn't quite so scattered. Now she settled on her own to make it right. Oh, she was rolling, rolling down the road to paradise. Oh, she was rolling, but she won't make it there too. Another roll of the dice.
Another Roll of the Dice, an original song of mine that features the incredible guitar work of John McKinley. John just happens to be my very special guest again this week. My name is Stuart McKee, and this is Musicians FAQ. All right, welcome back to Musicians FAQ. Joining me once again this week is John McKinley. We're going to pick up where we left off in our first conversation a couple weeks ago, and this is part two of Musicians FAQ with John McKinley.
So when did you start composing or writing songs or creating your own music?
About the time I was doing all that Simon and Garfunkel stuff. I wrote a song and I had some words and came up with some chords. Sounded really different than anything else I'd been doing, every so often I would come up with something. It's been a real process. It's been over the years. I've got probably hundreds of songs, but I only ever recorded that one CD, I'm definitely gonna put everything down on some kind of format so that it's there. Good. But like I say, I view it more like I don't care if there's a market for it or whatever. I'm just going to put it down because that's what I came up with.
Yeah, I think you have to. Well, and it's interesting what you said about the composing, because, I mean, you were gracious enough to do a session with me and Fred for a song that I wrote, Another Roll of the Dice. And,
oh, that's a great song, man.
Well, thank you. And, I'd had other guitar players play on it over the years, and I was just going to kind of muddle through and maybe do a solo myself and maybe get Fred to play along. And I had played lead on most of the album, but I thought, that particular song, it's got lots of space and it needs something bigger. And, and I knew there'd be room to kind of like the three chord thing just in the minor and the major, just like, all along the Watchtower. and we brought you in, and you were so prepared, but you had this whole thing. I mean, it was, I mean, your guitar work on that was like an orchestral kind of thing in and of itself. And it was so beautiful, and it was so amazing. It was so intense. And it was just a joy watching you create. I mean, you obviously came in prepared. You had something, but then you were open to improvise. But everything that you were doing was to serve the song. I mean, there was some brilliant guitar work and some brilliant keyboard work by John Lee, but everybody knew to kind of play and support. And, you know, yeah, it was,
well,
it was,
thank you.
Amazing. Thanks. To watch.
Thank you for saying that. Listen, to me, that's the fun. That's the buzz. That's that little create thing. I love to collaborate on people's stuff. It's to me, like, what better thing is there than that? I don't know.
No kidding. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it's lovely. All right. So tell me about the next generation of McKinleys, John. Is there a lot of musical talent coming with the children and the grandchildren?
Well, you know my sons, Darius McKinley. Plays bass and guitar and sings, and actually he's really a good drummer too, and he's a teacher. He teaches all of those things.
Yeah.
And he's played with me since he was 14.
Yeah.
I had him in the bars with me at an early age, and he's actually taken to it. He's played a lot of gigs. Then his younger brother, Donovan McKinley, also plays bass and guitar and sings, and he's with me in a lot of the gigs. He's going to be with me, he's been playing the jam with me there at the jam right at the jazz room.
Yeah, I thought I saw it. And I've seen Darius play with you quite a bit. And I was actually going to get him to play bass on a session a while back, but we couldn't coordinate it. And then, yeah, I think Donovan actually, the last time I was at the jazz room, I think they're both playing with you. And then I think actually even a while back, you were doing a jam down in that pub, and I'm blanking on the name, down in Waterloo. I think I came in with some buddies and we jammed one night, and I think both sons were playing that night as well with you.
In Waterloo?
Yeah.
Would that have been Lana's Lounge by any chance?
No, I think it was down on Herb Street. Was that down by Herb and, oh gosh, I'm blanking. It was like an Irish pub kind of place. Oh, it was the Churchill Arms. You guys were doing a jam night there a few years back, and I came with some buddies in a band that I was in at the time.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, Donovan works at Long & McQuaid, so you can catch him there music-wise.
And, right, okay.
Tomorrow night, Darius is playing with me. We're doing a St. Paddy's Day thing, believe it or not.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, I think I saw some promo for that. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and they all play with their own peers. They have their own friends, and Darius has been in quite a few bands. He was in Lumberjunk.
That's what it was. You know what? I think that's the first time I saw him play was in Lumberjunk. I caught them a bunch of years back. I was just talking to Matt Whitinger a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about first time I'd seen Lumberjunk play, and I think that's where I first saw Darius play.
And I've seen it. I mean, he's been part of the Mike Erb band at one time, and he's, of course, played with me a lot. Both of the guys are in the Supernatural band with me. They
right,
both play in the band.
Super talented.
And then I've got these grandkids, two little, an eight-year-old and a six-year-old. The eight-year-old's name is Marcus McKinley, and he plays violin, guitar, a little ukulele, and piano. You know,
oh, right,
he likes playing piano. And he sings, and he dances really good.
Oh, wow. That's
great. They love Michael Jackson. And then the younger one, Mateo, he called him my blondie boy because he's got blonde hair and blue eyes. He's a cute little guy. And he's got moves like you wouldn't believe, and he dances. He's really good. But he also plays some things on the piano. He's learning, and he's a great little drummer. Like, he gets the beats right away. He gets them really good.
Yeah.
So these guys, they love music. They hear something, and they go figure it out, you know.
Start them young. It's in the genes. So Marcus and Mateo, shout out to them. We'll get them on the show soon too. And then, and a shout out to Donovan and Darius as well.
Sure.
That's great. So now I think you've got a new blues tune that you're going to debut for us.
Yeah, I am. Just a little something I can do on. I hope this comes out all right. I don't know if this one mic is going to be able to catch the amp and everything. And you'll hear my, I'll try. We'll just see what it is.
Okay? Give it a shot. Yeah.
All right. So this is called, Lose the Hat.
Nice.
No, it's probably not the right thing to say, but I always thought it was interesting. I mean, like, I have the luxury of having my hair still.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys don't, and I'm,
yeah.
You know, what can I say? But you kind of see, you know, there's a rockers and they got long hair, and then they start losing their hair, and then so then they put on a hat, and they play blues, right? Yeah. And it's kind of like, anyway, so I just thought that was an interesting little thing, and I just came up with this little thing. It's not politically correct, but that's kind of, that's what the song's all about. So,
okay, so here we go. Some of the best songs aren't.
Okay, see if we can do this. I won't call you Baldy if you don't call me fat. No, I won't call you Baldy, but don't you call me fat. I tell you what, I'll lose some weight. Why don't you lose the hat? Well, the last thing I'd want to be, it's politically correct. Yeah. You know, the very last thing I'd want to be is politically correct. You have to mean what you say if you want to earn my respect. You just a handful of gimme and a mouthful of much obliged. I think you're just a handful of gimme and a mouthful of much obliged. You leave a path of destruction about 3 miles wide. Mr. Warden, why you pick on me? Yeah, Mr. Warden. Say, Warden, why do you pick on me? When you know my only crime was wanting to be free. Yeah, I think every man's his own warden. I believe that's a fact. Every man's his own warden. I believe that's a fact. But a beautiful woman, that's gotta be the ultimate trap. Thanks for listening. I don't know how that mix came out, but
that sounded pretty good on my end. Listen, sounded live, so that's great, man. That's awesome.
Well, thanks, man.
Your check. Welfare mama, hope you brought that check. Meet me at 2-4 Molson, cotton of player cigarettes. Ah, mama, ratios rearranged.
That was John McKinley with Welfare Mama. What a rockin' tune.
You've got to love yourself before you love anybody.
Hi, this is John McKinley, and you are listening to Musicians FAQ on CKMS 102.7 Radio, Waterloo, with your host, Stuart McKee.
Well, you were asking about it, like,
yeah.
it was a real area of ideas and stuff. I mean, and you know what? You could go, you could see any band on any night. Like, there was tons of them, 40 a night in town.
Yeah.
And there would be like a band playing Mexican cumbias, and there would be jazz, and there would be a fusion band, there would be a blues band, there'd be a rock band.
It's all there.
Yeah, it was just happening, you know.
Yeah, we my wife and I passed through Austin years ago, and just the one night there, and it was just, yeah, I mean, we're walking around, popping into this club and seeing a club, you know, band just playing outside and playing in an alley. It was just crazy. I mean, I got to get back down there at some point and just spend like a week or two just absorbing it all. I mean, it's just magical.
I don't know what it's like now, but
probably not quite the same. But I mean, it was still pretty cool when we were there. I mean, maybe like all things, it becomes a little bit watered down or a little bit more commercial. Or, you know, you were there when the whole thing was just kind of exploding, which is very cool.
Yeah, in fact, I did some very stupid things. I got invited to come play at a party that was the guys that played with. What's his name? You know, Blue Eyes Clan in the Rain and
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson at his place. They were having a party. There was the band, And they wanted me to come play. The guy heard me playing. He said, "Want to come?" And I went, "No, I don't like country."
Oh man!
But I didn't.
Fair enough.
A little bit of a snooty thing.
Anyway. and it's funny because I mean Willie's got some weird influences too, like Django Reinhardt, and I love Willie's playing. I mean, it's weird and offhanded, but I mean, it's interesting.
He wrote Crazy. You know, yeah, you've seen the words on the chords on Crazy. That's sophisticated.
I know. There's some jazz. It was some beautiful stuff. I mean, I love that era. And that was another book that I had read, the Outlaw Era, and talk about Willie and Waylon and Kris Kristofferson, and of course preceded by Johnny Cash. And back in the days when Chet Atkins was producing sessions and things like that, but they didn't know what to do with guys like Willie and stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously he had those same kind of chops that Chet did. But thank God that he just kind of went, "I'm going home to Texas and I'm just going to put on an album," which almost sounded like a demo album. But I mean,
Yeah, there again, follow your heart. You know what I mean? Like, be true to your own convictions or
absolutely
your own goals, if you will, you know.
So when did you get up here? I mean, when did you first arrive in Kitchener or Canada? Or
that would have been July 1979.
Okay.
There was a band forming here from England, and they couldn't find a guitar player that they wanted. They tried several guys around here, and they were living in Kitchener, 221 Victoria Street. I know. I used to live there when I first got up here. Anyway, so I sent them a tape. I met a Canadian girl in Florida, and she wanted me up here. That's my son Darius's mom. And anyway, she says, "These guys looking for a guitar player. I told them you play like Jeff Beck." And they said, "Oh, send me a tape." Well, I didn't play like Jeff Beck, but that's what she said, right?
Yeah.
So I sent them a tape, and they said, "Come on up." They flew my gear up and everything from Austin all the way up here.
Hey. Right?
Oh. And so I got the audition, and then I was here. Now, the band broke up, and I didn't wind up playing with them. I actually left before, and wound up playing in a bar band where I met Steve Hogg.
Okay, you know, Steve Hogg. Yeah,
that's where the whole thing started there. But it was anyway. One of the guys that the band didn't really do much. One guy from the band, the bass player, has made a real name for himself. His name is Pino Palladino.
Yeah.
And anytime some of the big guys in England play, he's the guy usually that plays with them. For instance, when the guy from The Who died, they called Pino.
Yeah.
He's played with all kinds of people.
That's crazy.
And that was the same dude, right?
Wow.
So that's how I wound up here. They all went back to England and I stayed here. I had a future wife and a family, and time went on, you know.
That's great. Well, I'm glad you didn't. We're very lucky. So now a bunch of things have happened, and you've been up here and played a lot of gigs, and I mean, you know, everybody knows you. I mean, from the jam nights, and you know, you won the Mel Brown Blues Award a few years back, and so I mean, it really just feels like, I mean, John is part of the, you know, you can't really think music in KW without thinking John McKinley. So it's very cool, man. So you mentioned you got some gigs coming back. Let's take a minute to maybe kind of promote whatever you want to promote. If there are any new recordings, I know you sent me some songs that we're going to feature throughout the show. Any upcoming gigs and any sort of things you want to really talk about, your social media stuff?
I'm trying to get the jam night at the Jazz Room going again. It's taken us a while to get it off the ground. You can understand this pandemic hurt a lot of businesses. And so there's not a whole lot of money to go around. And just because they open the doors doesn't mean that everybody can go right back to square one.
That's right.
And so we're working on it. I'm talking to some people, and we're trying to make sure, because we can't go in there and play for nothing. We have to create something. And, though a lot of people do support us to come out to see and play at the jam, it's just not quite enough to get a whole thing going. So I'm working on it. I hope to have it up by the end of March.
Good.
I don't have a date yet. I play every other week at the Lancaster Smokehouse Blues, just me alone, solo.
Yeah.
And I also, we have a I play every Sunday at a thing in Brantford called Blues for Soldiers.
Okay.
Which they raise money for guys with PTSD and homeless and all that, for the our veterans, right?
Oh, that's and great.
And then I we're probably going to have a St. Paddy's Day gig. Can I mention names?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
McMullen's on Highland Road. We're going to play at the for St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, cool.
During the afternoon.
Perfect.
Into the early evening. So that's all I've got so far. Oh, there is something coming up, but it's quite a ways down. It's September. There's a promoter, works with Jesse Weber.
Okay.
They're putting together a Woodstock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And cool. Me and my two percussionists from the Supernatural Santana band, right? We're going to be in it doing the Santana part.
Oh, that's awesome.
They got a guy from Toronto. I think, I forget his name, but he does Hendrix. You probably know him.
The Wild Tea, is it?
He'll be doing Hendrix. And then,
nice.
Of course, they got, you know, Jesse and his boys will be doing Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And,
oh, cool.
And all that. And so they've got
that's beautiful. That's brilliant.
I think that's going to be in Stratford, and I'm not sure where, but it's supposed to, I think it's around August or September.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for that for sure.
Yeah.
And I'll definitely be back down to Lancaster and to the jazz room to see you with the jam and playing acoustically again. And this time,
bring a guitar and come on up and play. I'm serious, dude.
Well, you know, and it's funny. I the last time I was there, I was just kind of sitting in the corner by myself and having a beer and having some wings and just kind of scoping it out and seeing, you know, I mean, there's some great players up there, but everybody's very, very warm and inviting on stage and the crowd is great. And I just got to, you know, practice up a little bit. It's funny. I've never been much of a performer. I've always played in a band. I've never been kind of a guy like a lead guy or a solo guy, but I've been trying to get more down to that. And I've more been into the songwriting and the composing thing myself. And that's what I've always taken joy is just being in the studio and, you know, I've got the home studio here and working on a lot of stuff, but
that's
I
want to awesome.
I want to get out and play this summer for sure. So I'll come out there and make an ass of myself.
Hey,
hopefully you won't kick me off the stage.
Come out and do one of your tunes, man. It doesn't have to be a cover tune or a blues tune. If you give us a heads up, we'll make sure we back you up, you know.
Perfect.
All right, a couple tracks for you there. That was Dirty Nails by John McKinley, and that was also John McKinley's band Supernatural, the Santana tribute, doing their version of Soul Sacrifice.
All right, so I think we can probably wrap things up. I wanted to do the 10 questions. We talked about that beforehand, that was made famous on the Actor Studio by James Lipton, originally developed by a French series host called Bernard Pivot. Both those gentlemen have long since passed away, but we wanted to carry on the tradition. Just 10 fun questions to kind of wrap things up with. You feel up to it, John?
I feel up to it.
All right. So we'll start. What is your favorite word?
Win.
Win. Nice.
I like to win, and I love it when people win. Yeah. You know, like that feeling that we got when you're talking about in the studio at the end, we were going like, this is good. Yeah, that's a win, you know.
Well, and I love how you incorporated the we in that, because a lot of people, very ambitious, very aggressive, and they just want to be the guy that wins. But you've kind of already embodied the team part of it, which is fantastic.
Well, like we said, music is a communal art form. It really is.
It is, for sure. How about your least favorite word?
Prove it. Well, actually, that's two words. I hate it when somebody says prove it, because that means they're not really open-minded to hearing what you have to say. They've made up their mind. So
yeah,
what's the point of carrying on the conversation? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's too much of that these days, for sure. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, emotionally, any or all three?
Well, I'd say creatively, anything aesthetic, like your song. It turned me on. It made me want to do something with it, right? Or I see a painting, or I see a movie, or I see a concert, or, you know, I get off on something that's like, man, that is good. When we heard that part in the Zeppelin thing, that's what turns me on creatively. Spiritually, knowing something, finding out something that's a truth, learning a truth. That makes me go, yeah. And I say emotionally, I'd have to say my wife's touch.
Yeah, beautiful.
That turns me on.
That's beautiful. What turns you off?
People that have like a victim mentality. Like everything's done to them, and they're not responsible for their condition. I don't believe that.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I've grown up with some people like that over the years. It's funny, and not, you know, I went through this kind of period where I was opening restaurants and we were on the road, and sometimes we get a break in the afternoon, go back to our room to chill out, and the only thing on would be Oprah. And I remember Oprah saying, there are no victims. And it always stuck with me. You know, my mom would always say, there's always somebody who's got it worse. And, you know, you just got to push on. And a lot of us create our own problems and our own victories. So, you know, I think the power is within.
Yeah, for sure.
How about your favorite curse word?
Okay, I thought this one over. I'm going to use the word pendejo. Okay, now, it's a Spanish curse word.
Yeah.
Okay, it just means you're a dumbass or idiot or jerk.
Perfect.
But it also can be used, affectionately.
Nice.
And like, listen, pendejo, the cord goes like this. Okay, you don't really mean he's an asshole. It's just
Oh, I love it. Well, and I remember it from, you know, famously from the Cheech and Chong movie or record years ago, but we won't go down. I know when they had you on Kitchener Famous, they prompted you to do the Cheech and Chong impression, but we won't go there.
Okay. That's okay.
What sound or noise do you love?
The sound of a Les Paul through a Mesa Boogie with a distortion on playing a power chord.
Yeah.
And it just zzz, I love that sound.
Nothing better. Mm-mm. What sound or noise do you hate?
Somebody complaining. It's like, don't want to hear it.
Ain't that the truth? What profession other than yours would you like to attempt?
I don't think I could do it, but I'd like to try acting. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I could see it. You know, I don't think there's that far a reach from, you know, a performer to and music to acting. I mean, some people have done the transition well, some not so well. I find rappers tend to make that transition more easily. And I don't know if that's because of their verse is more of a speaking kind of riff, kind of free, you know, sort of stream of consciousness kind of thing versus singing lyrics. But yeah.
Well, I think it might, some of it might be the fact that what they're singing about and all that, like rap usually covers heavy issues.
Yeah.
And so they're looking at humanity. Isn't that what an actor kind of does?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you act like the guy that sent, you know, 6 million Jews to jail, to the death or something like that? I mean, how do you, you know, that's, anyway.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a good point. Well, you should try it before, you know, you get too far down the road. Yeah. Well, I mean, look at now, who was the actor? And he just, Christopher Plummer. Very recently, but I mean, he was the oldest actor to ever win an Oscar. And actually Fred Smith knew him quite well.
He's Canadian.
I don't know if you saw pictures when you're at Fred's studio, but I mean, Christopher had done voiceover work in Fred's studio and hung out. And there's a beautiful picture on the wall of him and Fred's wife doing the dishes, or him doing the dishes. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
That is cool. I didn't know that. No, and I didn't see him.
Fred may be a good guy to talk to you for if you want to get into acting. He's got a few connections there. What profession would you absolutely not like to do?
Either a lawyer or a politician.
Yeah.
Because I think, I don't know, I mean, like, I think sometimes their ethics are questioned, and a lot of times they kind of have to make allowances for that. I don't even know if I could sleep at night.
Yeah,
I don't know. Some of those things, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't know if we need necessarily to have those people all the time. But I mean, I guess if we're going to have those, somebody's got to do it. It's kind of like, you know, I think it's a thankless job. I mean, maybe the system is broken or corrupt, or maybe we just don't have enough people who are morally strong enough to rise above the system. I don't know which it is, but
I know who's to say.
Yeah. All right. And if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
John, I'm glad you made it. Look, I got this G minor 7 flat 5 right here. Am I doing it right?
That's amazing. That's the best answer I've heard to this question so far. Oh, that's awesome. Well, John, it's been over an hour that we've been chatting, and it seems like 15 minutes, man. It's been such a blast. We'll have to catch up again for sure.
Yeah, I love chatting with you, dude.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks for doing the show. Thanks for joining us on Musicians FAQ this week.
My pleasure, dude.
We are looking forward to some good weather and low virus counts so we can stay open and start the live music going again in Kitchener.
I hear that. I'm for that, man.
All right. Okay, take care, man. Brother.
Thanks, man. Be cool, man. Bye-bye.
All right.
Happy people to and fro in the streets below. Busy little ants and bees with no place to go. If you give me half a chance, I'll play you my song. Give your life a parting glance, dance before it's gone. Don't you wait on me, it's too late, you see. Through the gate I'm free, till it's time to be, till it's time to be or not to be. Time to sleep winding road, cross the wide river deep, neath the melting snow, neath the melting snow, neath the melting snow, neath the melting snow. seen snow.
What a beautiful song. That's a song by John McKinley called Neath the Melting Snow. So we're going to wrap up the show with a few of John's faves. Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. He talks about that in the first episode, what an influence that iconic guitar solo was. And then we're going to hear Supernatural, John McKinley's Santana tribute band, and their version of Black Magic Woman. It's absolutely killer. So as always, thank you very much for joining us on Musicians FAQ. We're here every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on CKMS 102.7 Radio Waterloo, also available on Apple and Spotify podcasts. Check us out. Check out some of the past episodes. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
blind, I can't see that she's a black magic woman. She's trying to make a devil out of me. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Don't turn your back on me, baby. No, don't turn your back on me, baby. Stop messing around with your tricks. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Just might pick up my magic sticks. Just can't.